Welcome to the newest episode of the official podcast. It's the same four dweebs, and we're joined by a podcasting virgin, fresh blood in the podcasting world. You know him on YouTube as Casually Explained. Go ahead and take the center stage, James.
Well, I'm James from Casually Explained. This is my first podcast I've ever done. It's almost my first piece of content other than just the YouTube videos that I've made. So I'm pretty
I can smell your hymen.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to get asked about if I masturbate, so let's get into it.
Why did you pick us?
Yeah,
do we really have to ask already?
Do we have to go through the motions? You seem so experienced. Why don't you just tell us?
There we are. I feel like it's a good thing there's no video chat on Discord, because you'd have to be... I'd be charging for this shit right now. I feel like everyone does it, right? I feel like it's just part of life. Let's go kind of open about it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I don't know about that, you sick freak.
Yeah, that's right. I feel like the thing is, though, that are you guys right-handed or left-handed? Do you have a personal preference?
Well, I use the left hand, but I'm right-handed.
I switch it off.
I'm the same, because you need one hand on the mouse.
Yeah, I've actually learned to become ambidextrous with my mouse because I so often switch.
Oh, mouse, I thought you said mouth. Like sucking on your own fingers.
Yeah, I use both hands and then move the mouse with my mouth.
I feel
it's very tedious.
Well, okay, that's a good question. Do you guys use the other hand to simulate or like stimulate your balls, or do you just jack off straight?
I feel like I just go for what's optimal, you know, in a way. I'm right-handed, but it's like right hand on the mouse, left hand on the action, you know?
Jamie goes for the min-maxing approach.
It's a min-max approach, man. I have the StarCraft background. I'm familiar with the good builds, and I feel like that competitive gaming experience has taught me well.
Mm-hmm. You've optimized your strategy. Yeah. So does your left hand do everything? Does it like tickle the taint, smash your balls, everything? Like, does it just flip between things?
God, this is a ripping start, right? This is exactly what I was signed up for this podcast.
For this show, this is actually a pretty tame start.
Yeah. We're taking it easy on you for your first time.
Yeah, no, you need to ease me into it. yeah, there you go. Sorry, what was the question? Are we being serious? What was the question?
Do you tickle your taint or balls?
Yeah, it's in charge of everything. Yeah, it kind of runs the show. This is just kind of like... Feel free to share your own, you know, your own techniques. If you feel there's something that I could learn, if there's something you wish to share, so I could kind of experience it.
No. Here's what's gonna happen. Like you're like Jello, and we're gonna forge you into a sword, and you're gonna go on to other podcasts, and you're gonna have the bar so high for you personally that all those other podcasts are gonna seem like a cakewalk, a piece of cake. So
it's very thoughtful. I feel like this is this is sort of teaching me what to expect from other podcasts, right?
Yeah, you're Atreus, and we're Kratos.
Well, they're gonna hit you with the boring questions, like I don't know, questions about your YouTube channel and what you do, that sort of lame stuff. But I want to know: do you like manipulate your balls when you jack off? Do you ever hang stuff off of them?
Do you decorate them? Do you shamwow them? Pizzazz?
What do you use to tie your shoes?
Shoelaces.
Yeah, I forgot the word. I haven't been using them on shoes for such a long time. I've only been using them to tie them around my balls.
Half of the word is in the thing they go to.
Yeah, but I use them to just tie them to a weight and tie the other end to my balls. And then I stand up and I kind of swing them back.
Did you say a second ago you haven't been using shoes in a while? Is that what you said?
No, shoelaces. For their intended
purposes. What are those trees you see around Christmas time? I don't remember what they're called. Like, how do you forget what shoelaces are called?
Hang on. No, I'm one of those people who I break my shoes in the first day. I tie them, and that's it. Then I put them on and take them off, just like loafers.
That's pretty optimal.
I forgot.
But then you strangle them with shoelaces, or you strangle your balls with shoelaces and put a weight on it? That's what you said?
But for ancient monk testicle strengthening?
No, it's fun. You've never done this.
How heavy of a weight?
I don't know. I use like one of those water jugs that's like 5 kilograms.
Oh, what is wrong with you?
No. Your balls are much more resilient than you think they are. I was impressed by myself as well.
That sounds horrible.
Okay, try it out. As well. Why not use like an actual strong thing?
No, it was the most conveniently accessible rope. You don't have to use shoelaces. Use anything. But back on point, Jamie, have you ever used
that? Yes. Use shoelaces? I prefer like bungee cord. I feel like it's got kind of the hook attached to the end. It just kind of makes a little bit of a natural setting. But no, I have not tried that yet, but I think I'll have to add it to my repertoire after hearing your many successes.
Mm-hmm. I can assure you I will not be adding that to my arsenal of masturbatory techniques.
I can't
imagine any fun coming from swinging weights from my nutsack.
You said the same thing.
You're masturbating, Kyle?
Sorry, what?
You do it while you're masturbating? I thought you meant
This is basically essentially just the same thing as somebody yanking on your balls a little. Not so much that it hurts.
No! I like when they're fondled and when they're like... No, I like when they're cupped and fondled and all that, but not yanked.
Well, not yanked as in you're trying to rip off some wheat from the ground. I mean, just like, you know, pulling on them slightly.
Well, there's also a degree of difference, too, when you're describing, like, if someone else is doing it versus you yourself or tying your balls with shoelaces and then hanging a weight off of them. I feel like there's a degree of intimacy that might be a bit of a gap there.
The weight's far more intimate.
Mm. That's right. Sometimes you use, like, the 2% milk, and sometimes you use the chocolate milk if you're really getting flavorful that night.
That brings me on my viewpoint on all this shit. Someone brought this point up to me and I fucking fell in love with it, where they said masturbation is exactly the same as eating. Like, sometimes, you know, you're going to get that filet mignon, you're going to massage your balls, you're going to do the taint, you're going to do all this stuff. But then other times you just get a McDonald's cheeseburger and you're just there to get the action and get it done. You know what I mean?
So Kyle is trying to describe when he's
having like a nice porterhouse steak to us and we're not being very tolerant of it.
I was just thinking of masturbating to a cheeseburger versus a porterhouse steak. I was a little confused for a second.
It sounds like Kai is eating out of the trash can.
Oh man, your horizon needs to be broadened, Strux.
Oh god.
Do you tie the individual testicles, or do you do like the whole sack, kind of like a chicken's?
I've tried it all, but you can the whole sack is easier.
But if you tie around the entire sack, doesn't it cut off circulation to your nuts?
You don't tie that tight, and also you have to use the regular shoelace tie, where you can just pull one piece of it and it'll fall apart. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to make a knot, you don't want a Gordian knot, right?
Do you like go into Foot Locker, going to buy some shoelaces, and then explain this to the person working there?
He just tries them on in the store.
Yeah. Can I just mind if I try these on?
What is your nut hanging section?
Are your balls just on the floor now? Like, I feel like this would cause damage over time.
I feel like you're going to be like, hey, can I try these shoelaces on? And they're like, oh, sure. I'm like, is there a change room? And they're like, oh, no, just do it here. And you're like, well, okay.
if you say so.
I guess so. What is the tensile strength on these?
Can these shoelaces support a human nutsack? I need to know.
Specifically mine.
Like, I usually work with a 2-gallon jug of chocolate milk. That's kind of the weight that I have to offer that. Is that typically what these are designed for?
Is it good for my back?
Do you have different knots for different pleasure? Like, this is the spider's cradle. This is the leaning tower.
I'm looking for some knots. Do you have any Boy Scouts around that can teach me about this real quick?
Oh, joke's on you. The Boy Scouts are accepting women now, so it's
fine. It doesn't have to be a boy anymore. I just really like the idea of you going to a shoe store to like the expensive aisle, and you're like, how much are these shoelaces cost on the new Jordans?
He buys new Jordans, throws the shoes away, and just takes the laces.
Imagine doing this in front of Kanye's new line of shoes. Like, I just brought these out, bro. Dragon energy. Yeah. And I just tie them around my balls. Like, yeah, feel it. I love it.
I mean, like, knowing Kanye, that's probably why he made them. So,
yeah, really. He's a secret lover of this, too. Yeah.
He was thinking two steps ahead.
Bro, you're a genius. Yeah.
There's a reason his new line of shoes feature velvety, soft, platinum silk shoelaces.
The most expensive part of the shoe.
Yeah, the shoes itself are $2, but the laces are $1,000.
Just knitted by some golden threads from Chinese emperors.
God.
I guess all this brings me to a question for you, James.
Yep, all right, I'm ready.
So, in a lot of your videos, you tell stories, and I was just wondering, how many of those are actual things that happen to you? I guess stories is the wrong word, because it's more of just a relatable event or something, but how many of those have you personally experienced?
Well, it's interesting to say that, because I feel like, say my most popular video is She Into You? Like that one, obviously, well, I mean, you know, part of it is based a little bit on my own experience, but that whole video, the premise was actually based on my friend. And like, if you look at the very beginning, you see a little dedicated to in the bottom right at the first or second frame. And so I think some of them are experiences that other people have had that I, you know, sometimes it's just like it happens to a friend and I want to kind of make fun of a little bit. And sometimes they're like things that happen to me. Some of them are just kind of what I would consider, you know, they're videos where I'm just, as you'd imagine, explaining something. And it's just like I draw from my own experience and what I think is relatable to people and what other people have experienced. So I think it's a bit of a, all of those things put together is what I'd say. Yeah.
Okay, so your own experiences help craft the narrative, but it's not all necessarily something you've gone through personally.
I would say, like, yeah, like, generally speaking, like, when I make, say, like, some of the relationship videos, like, you know, it's a bit of an exaggeration, it's a bit of a character, obviously, but still, it's like, you can't come up with that kind of stuff without it still being kind of true to you to some degree, I guess I'd say, yeah.
So what experiences happened to you that you haven't turned into a video, whether because it was so unbelievably distasteful or just so incredibly awful you don't think anyone would like it?
There's some that, like, there's not many like that. There's a few that I would say are ones that I think might be a little bit too offensive, possibly. And I just kind of think, like, it's not really worth it. And it's, like, a few of those I've had. Like, there's one that I wanted to do that would be, like, you know, on religion. And the premise would be like, hey, I don't want to make anything that offends people. I know it's a really sensitive topic. And so I want to be really inclusive with how I describe everything. And it would be like, you know, the creation of the universe and the history of the world. But it would be like every single religion put into one story. You know, it would be like, you know, God created the Big Bang. And then you have it would just draw from all the different religions and basically tell every single story in one. And I was like, I think it's a good idea, but I don't really want to do that. Another one is like, you know, people always talk about, right now it's a big political thing to talk about, you know, like feminism and privilege and like different races and how they interact in society and all that kind of stuff. And I wanted to make a video that was kind of like, you know, the hierarchy of privilege. And then it would just kind of be, it would just sidestep the whole issue that people are talking about and just talk about things like, oh, you know, the most privileged people are hot people. You know, like that kind of thing.
Oh, you incel.
And it's like those two. Well, no. But like, it just is a joke, right? And it's like that kind of theme. It's like those are probably videos where I'm like, it just might kind of rub people the wrong way or making political content. And I'm just kind of like, I'll stay out of it until I can think of a more kind of tasteful
way of
doing it.
Do you have a lot of unattractive people in your audience?
Dude, I have no idea, man. I feel like I shouldn't have used that example, I guess, but it's...
Well, that's what it sounds like to me.
I don't like that Jamie has been associated with incels because there is truth to it. If you like Jeremy Meeks is going to have an easy time robbing a bank, I feel like, because they would just hand him the money.
Mm-hmm. We've been over that before, Jeremy Meeks is a hero among men.
Hot felon, right?
Use David Beckham then, whatever. You get the point.
Yeah, I'd hand him over some money too.
I give him everything.
That man does not age.
At all.
At all. It's unreal.
I was 12 years old, all the women in my life, all my mom, my sister, everybody, anybody I knew, my aunts, they would still just swoon over David Beckham. Fast forward 15 years. And he's still the darling.
I was just going to say, like, I feel like to that kind of point, like relating to my content and the stuff that, you know, I would like to make a video about. I think that, you know, those kind of issues when, like, to me, those are like part of the reason why some of the videos I think I've made have been successful is in a way it's like just talking about stuff that, you know, everyone kind of knows or experiences, but hasn't really publicly said. And it's like when you're, you know, you're making a joke about David Beckham or whoever, it's like, what's your audience like? But it's like, you know, in a way, it's like there's certain things that people experience based on, you know, like if you're a really attractive person, you're going to have a certain experience. And if you're like, there's all these sort of different social interactions between people with different, you know, depending on their, just the person that they are, they'll experience things differently. And it's like so much of that stuff people kind of gloss over and pretend it just isn't real. And I think some people, like, you know, you've mentioned, like completely overstate the significance of something. You know, it's like some people think that, oh, being attractive is the only thing that matters. And it's like, if you're not attractive, your life is terrible. And it's like, that's complete garbage, right? But then some people kind of take the opposite perspective where it's saying like, oh, that doesn't matter at all. And I feel like with a lot of the videos I make when it comes to, say, you know, relationships and just social kind of things, it's like, that's a very small facet, and I talk about other stuff too, but it's like I just trying to say something that I think I genuinely believe is real and state it in a way that I think gives it the merit that it deserves. Because I think that kind of makes it relatable and people think like, oh yeah, that's my experience as well.
Okay, so there's not like one personal experience you'd turn into a video out of, you know, fear of you being called a Nazi, which you clearly are since you think attractive people have it easier. So basically it's just ideas you think would come across offensive.
Yeah, I guess that's a little bit more it too, you know, like, yeah, I mean, it's just ideas that are more relatable and more not relatable. And it's like when you're coming up with an idea, like it can be kind of like an something that you think is like smart and creative. But you're like, is it really necessary? Like, what's the point of the whole thing? Like, am I trying to make a political statement? Or am I trying to just make people laugh? Like, you know, if you're making content that's just like, here's some jokes. And I just want, you know, I want someone to watch it for 3-4 minutes a day and like have a good time and make something I think that they'll enjoy. Like, that's different than like, say, Donald Glover's, like, you know, This Is America music video. Like, that's very, like a very, in a way, charged statement, you know? It's very different. Approach
that man could fart and people would hunt for clues in his fart for what he was meaning, like the just Nicolas Cage hunting for the lost treasures. Unbelievable.
There's a certain point where a person's status goes beyond their work, and he's definitely at that point now where he can make the worst shit or the most inane crap and everyone's like, oh, it's the greatest thing ever made with all these layers.
I'm seeing the opposite just because of that. Well, because of that video, like obviously everyone's making their whole exposed or this is what it really means or ending explained. Thanos was behind it all along, whatever. But a lot of people are going back to his older work where it's a lot more raunchy and they're criticizing him for that. So I don't really think his status has made him like some type of holier than thou figure because people are constantly trying to like insult him for things he did in his past.
But it's just that one video is everyone digging in. It's going to have that effect on his new work, though. I mean, watch, like, his next single could be the worst song you've ever heard in your life, but everyone's going to be like, it's genius! It's the best thing ever made!
Well, that's just called being a fan of somebody at that point.
I don't think that'll be the case for the general, like, audience anyway. I think they'll be, like Charlie said, more alert and more nitpicky because everyone's complimenting it so much.
Yeah, exactly. I think it'd have quite the opposite effect.
I was having a conversation with my friend about this just the other day, and we were talking about that music video in particular. And I think, like, from my perspective in terms of, you know, is it a tasteful thing to make right now that's going to really resonate well with people in the current, you know, say, political climate or social climate, whatever you might want to say? I think it really is a terrifically done piece, like, in terms of marketing and all that kind of stuff. It's really smart. However, like, if you're actually talking, like, when people start talking about, you know, the layers of nuance in the message that he's sending, like, to me it's like not particularly nuanced in the sense that it's pretty blunt in the kind of points that it makes, like, and there's this sort of degree of obfuscation that kind of gets put in where it's like, you know, there's that part in it where there's like death riding a white horse and a police car behind it, and it's like people are like, oh, that's so deep. But, you know, in my personal perspective, I'd be like, well, it's actually just things that he chose to symbolize, stuff that he just kind of put in. And then he just put them in subtly in the background. And in a way, it's actually quite in your face. And it's to me, it's not that nuanced. But at the same time, I think in terms of creative piece and hitting, resonating with the audience right now, I think he did a fantastic job. And the producer did a fantastic job. I think it was very timely.
No, it's a great, well-executed music video.
Song and video, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's just kind of the nature of the internet right now. Like, if you can dig into something popular, like movie endings is a really easy example to give. I was seeing so many ending explains for Avengers Infinity War when you couldn't have had a more straightforward ending in your fucking life.
I hate
life.
That shit.
It's just something
easy. What does
easy.
It mean?
What does it all mean? Oh my god, I can't put these pieces together that they just hit me over the fucking head with.
Is this a statement on police brutality?
We've been analyzing this movie, and we think that Iron Man is Tony Stark?
No.
No. Wait, a metaphor spoilers. For Republican politics? No, just he's a villain. He makes people disappear at the end. They're gonna
Disney
come
wants
back.
It to be as a-fucking political as they can make it. Like, shut up.
It's just an easy way to get people talking. Or, well, not get people talking being the wrong word. Easy way to leech, you know, viewership more so than anything. Because you don't need an ending explained for an Infinity War. A 4-year-old could piece together exactly how it unfolded. But
people like to make that kind of shit. They want more from the content, so they're scrapping at the bottoms of the barrel from it. Like, oh, Infinity War is so good. I can't stop coming to Spider-Man and Thanos. Where can I get more of this? this, and then some guy makes a video, I explained the ending that you totally already get, and then they watch it and nod their heads and go, yep, well, that's what I thought, yep.
Yeah, I saw
yeah,
that.
Everyone watched.
Are they talking about what actually happened in the end, or are they talking about stuff
it
that happened
matter.
In the background?
It doesn't matter. They could just have a 20-minute video going, Thanos and Spider-Man, and everyone's going to go, wow, this is brilliant, bold, makes total
I'm
sense.
I'm sure there might have been like movie details that we've missed from watching it one
that's
time.
That's different.
Yeah, that's a very different subgenre, and it's just really subtle shit that no one really cares about. Like, if you pause at frame 15 and minute 14, 15, you'll see an X-Men symbol, clearly an homage to This Is America by Donald Glover, some weird crossover.
There's a huge difference between they go, all right, if you look in the background of this scene, you can see Plastic Man, who is this villain and all that. Like, that's like Easter eggs and references. That's fine. But when all it is like, what does this line from Spider-Man possibly mean about the future of Avengers? And it's like reaching in all possible corners.
But it's
that's
also
bullshit.
Like, what do you guys really kind of... you know, think that most people kind of get out of those articles? Because I kind of imagine, you know, like, to me, sometimes when I see dumb things like that, I'm kind of like, I don't like that people think this, and I don't like that, and that kind of stuff. But realistically speaking, I think most people, the same thing with, you know, like say This Is America, you talk about people analyzing the new Avengers movie to like the nth degree. But it's like, I think most people consuming that content are just kind of like, oh, that's neat. And they just kind of go on with their day. Like, it's not really a significant factor.
I don't think it's like a game changer or anything.
It's another way of, you know how people see shapes and clouds, like you see a smile or a dog, or sometimes NASA will release a photo of Mars's surface and people will be like, that right there, that's looked like a face. That's got to be aliens. And that's the exact same thing they do with just any type of media now. Like Donald Glover, you know, in this one frame, if you pause it at exactly frame 287, you can see that his foot was angled at 45 degrees. The 45th president of the United States is Donald Trump. This is a statement about racism of Donald Trump. No.
Yeah.
Oh, God, man, you fucking douchebag. You're just seeing so many fucking things. Like, Spider-Man, is he going to come back? You douche. He has like a movie slated for 2020. Yeah, he's going to come back, you cunt. God, I hate you.
Spoiler.
We live in a world where Game Explain and Game Theory and all that shit have gotten this whole culture on YouTube where you can take any popular thing and just go, oh, well, this may have been something that happened because of this, and everyone eats it up. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, I think it's true. Like, even in a way, it's like there's a lot of educational content on YouTube, you know, like CGP Grey and like all these kind of explanatory type whatever. But at the end of the day, like almost all that stuff is really just entertainment for people. And I think it's kind of... interesting way, because I imagine you guys might experience this as, you know, people who make content. It's like you make something, and sometimes if you really have something that grips you, you'll want to say something, and you'll think you really have something that's like, to some degree, making, you're like, this is a really good piece of whatever, you know, you could even call it art that you're making, and you're like, really put a lot of time and effort into what it is. If, like this podcast, and then, but I mean, like, there's these times where you honestly feel like you're making something that's very meaningful, and when you put it out, you know, the reaction is, generally speaking, 99% of people are going to be like, oh, that was fun. Oh, that made, you know, that 3 minutes of my day was better because of that. And it's not like they're kind of looking into it with the same, you know, perspective and the same depth that you did as the person who made it. And I feel like that happens a lot with, say, the people who are super fans of movies and the people who, you know, make these music videos with this sort of intentional statements and all that kind of stuff. It's just like they're seeing it from a different perspective that the audience is in front
of. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think any of us have any problems with it. It's just kind of the whole thing of it.
Yeah, Jamie, don't...
It's just
don't
an interesting
mistake,
complex.
Don't mistake our hyperbole for actual, like, lamentation. Like, we just think it's funny to make fun of.
No, totally.
I think we're just more cynical. I think Donald Glover, he just sat there with his director and said, let's have a shot of me dancing on a car and people will mistake it for, like, symbolism of riots or whatever.
Yeah, I guess, like, just to, like, that point, like, say, like, Donald Glover in particular, like, I really like him. I really like a lot of his stuff that he makes. But like, one example is I saw him on one particular radio show where it's like they get people to freestyle. And like, man, most people who go on just kind of like goof around, because like actually freestyling kind of off the dome is like incredibly difficult. And like he was just taking it so seriously because he wanted to have like the best freestyle type thing. He had like, you know, hoodie up type of, you know, he's really intensely focused. And I feel like it's just kind of like a personality thing. Like, people really take things differently depending on, yeah, whatever. But I think him in particular, his personality is kind of like that. But yeah, anyway, no,
the other thing though, is with that culture, you got to remember there's supervillains at the other end. Like, you'll have those people who just want to make out that content and have that, the people just talking about things. So they'll be like, Infinity War, who was in that? Doctor Strange. Dr. Strange sounds like Dr. Estranged. Was he married? Mm-hmm. Well, let's find out, you know, and it, like they just they
so you
make
say
any...
like they're passionless.
Exactly. They're just doing it to make controversy and just to have that content. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is just, that, just like, to be that guy who quote unquote broke the story.
Can I ask,
got just that
you,
audience.
Just because you mentioned that, it's like, how do you guys like go about making content that you do? Do you just kind of see something during your day and you're like, I'm going to make something related to that? Or do you kind of like plan things out in the future?
Plan.
Yeah, that was a, you threw out the P word and we weren't ready for that. I see why you don't want to do offensive videos.
Yeah, yeah, really? Wait, you work on it for more than an hour? What are you doing?
No, but like, is it like that for you guys? Like, you find everything you do is pretty spontaneous, it's just kind of spur of the moment what you
do. We just invite people onto this podcast and we don't take out things that are too horrible and then we just weather the storm if it's too offensive to people.
Yeah.
That's been the policy so far.
For content, personally, it's just whatever I find fun in the moment. I usually don't, like, you know, not to use the P word, I don't usually think in advance on something that I'd really want to make as like a powerful statement or anything like that.
Not from Moistmater.
All right, here's some official drama here. I'm calling you out, Charlie. You did plan to avert some drama with your official Moistmater for a certain movie.
Cut it out, true. Jackson. He's
that's
lying.
Totally true.
There's a movie you gave a high score for that didn't deserve that high score. Yep. You were just scared.
Don't say the title. Don't say the title. Let's build up some suspense in the
It rhymes with... take that out. No, make it suspenseful.
No, yeah,
don't make it too obvious.
Do actually take that one out, so I want to see what they think it is.
I'm actually curious as well. I think they're going to go for Star Wars, but...
Yeah.
Hey, don't...
But,
no titles.
For me, Jimmy, I've actually been trying to ride on the
idea... Jimmy?
I said Jimmy.
Oh, I thought you said Jimmy.
You can just make it up as you go, man. Just whatever name comes to mind.
Anyway, Joseph, as I was saying... No, but I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat where Charlie is, but I've been focusing on kind of parodying and satiring stuff, like dubbing over things or taking videos that I think are dumb and just making a super dumb version of it. And that's been paying off. So, I mean, I'm on the same boat. I make it in like an hour. I don't plan. Yeah.
Do you care that it would pay off, Andrew, or are you doing it for the happiness inside you?
There's a lot of reasons I'm doing it now. Half of it is I do enjoy doing it now, where it's just you crank out something and it's like, oh, I made this garbage, and everyone laughs at it and it's fun. But the biggest reason I kind of made that switch, half a little bit from coaxing on by Charlie, but I don't think the internet rewards effort anymore in any capacity.
This again.
I'm dead serious, and I
every
actually
damn episode
now.
Is
look
like
at my channel.
People just upvote stuff that's easy.
That's exactly what my channel is, and it's blowing up. I have proof. I have evidence.
Where's your proof?
Look at my fucking channel.
I don't see it.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
I think it's because your eyes need adjusting, Jackson. I think Hubble contacts lenses can help you see straighter.
Jamie, quick quiz, since you know so much. The Hubble telescope found out what?
Found out what?
Yeah.
Didn't find out shit. What do you mean? It's a fucking telescope. It doesn't know anything.
The
it's
universe
a fucking
was
piece
not
of equipment.
Contracting. Quite the contrary. It was...
expanding?
Contradicting.
At an accelerating rate. Yeah, the Hubble telescope found that out.
Can you see well, Jackson? Because if not, Hubble contact lenses can help you out.
Everyone knows that being able to see is very important, but imagine you have terrible vision and you lose your glasses. How are you going to find them? That's why you need a piece of compact plastic to place directly onto your eyeball so you're always prepared and you don't look like a nerd. So check out Hubble contact lenses.
Not to offend anyone that does wear glasses, you don't look like nerds, but Hubble contact lenses offers some incredible contact lenses for an affordable price.
So go to hubblecontacts.com and you use the you select our show official podcast at checkout and you get your contacts, okay? You look like a Chad. You don't want to use glasses that you can drop and then Flash from Spider-Man steps on them. And then the hot chick in the school doesn't like you anymore. You don't want to do that. You want to wear the Hubble contacts for $1 a day. Is that right, Jackson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get 15 pairs of lenses for free if you use our show at checkout. So make sure you do that and get some high-quality lenses.
Well, we got to go to hubblecontacts.com to claim that offer.
But anyway, speaking of being too good casually explained, do you think you're better than Sam O'Nella?
Man, I think I came first, didn't I? Is that out there? I don't know. I might be wrong. I actually have to check. I have to check. Wait, no, I have to see. I have to check when he made his channel, just for the sake of it.
Well, I feel like he was on this show before you, though. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm a little bit offended, to be honest. But
it doesn't matter.
Yep. I have no problem. I really like his content, honestly. I think he mentioned too that he was like he got a bit of his inspiration from Grade A. I think I was not even mentioned in that at all. But I'm in the same. I have to say, like, I'm sort of in the same boat too, where it's like I obviously really respect his content. I think he makes good stuff, and like I come from the same inspiration in the sense where, you know, I watched Grade A before I made my videos, and I wasn't ever trying to like rip him off at all. But it was kind of like I realized that, oh, you know, he really put a lot of time and attention into the writing of his videos. And, you know, it's evident that the visual part of it was not super important. And I was like, well, that's kind of good because I really like, you know, writing things. And I feel I can do a good job of that. I was never a very good artist, obviously. And that's where my kind of thing stemmed from. And I feel like maybe that's the same thing for Salmonella. But yeah, that's...
He's a copycat little bitch is what you're saying.
That's my statement. That's my final statement. Yeah. Thank you for interpreting it. You saw through the shroud. But yeah, no, I like Salmonella stuff a lot.
Yeah, we do too. Who would you say is your biggest inspiration throughout all of your life? Growing up as a baby
apart boy. Apart from us.
Well, yeah. Apart from you us. Guys, who, yeah. Really, who really inspired you to grow up?
You know, to grow up. I don't know. There's no one in particular. It kind of depends. Like, I feel like... from my history, it's always been, I really enjoy like finding a particular thing that I'm really interested in and then just kind of spending all my time doing that. And then whatever it is that I wanted to do or be good at, I would try to find people in that domain who really excelled in whatever it was. And then I kind of look up to them and try to imitate them. I guess that's my answer. No, so okay, no one.
So are you still inspired by Morgan Freeman?
Oh, after... I'm not really super up to date with the latest.
Neither
that.
Am I.
No, how but do you feel about
what happened with Morgan Freeman?
Well, he's accused of raping women now too.
No, don't do that to America's grandfather. That's not fair.
No, he has. Well, not rape. I don't know. I haven't read the article. I was going to read it, but I forgot. But CNN has
inappropriate behavior.
Come on.
It was a bunch of articles came out today about like some women coming forward that he was like, I think it was groping or something.
Yeah, wow. Groping and making inappropriate comments, which is understandable. If he's like 80 years old, he shouldn't do that. That's just gross.
I saw one thing that was like saying something about like sexual harassment or sexual assault or whatever, and it was like there was some person that was working on the set or whatever, and he would like lift her skirt up, and then she was like, and then she'd walk away, and then he'd do it again, and then she'd walk away, and then eventually she would just like stop, like, what are you doing, why are you doing this? And he was like, oh, like really flustered about it. And that was just one anecdote I read. I don't know what else he's being accused of or
he just sounds old.
He just sounds like an old man. But
dude, yeah. Morgan, listen, we all want to lift those skirts up to see what's underneath, but we don't do it, you sick fuck. What is wrong with
you? Yeah, because we have bungee cord and 5 gallon jugs of milk. So
we don't indulge in the pleasures of the flesh anymore. No, just the right. Chocolate milk.
We've moved beyond. Really.
I've evolved beyond women. I've got some shoelaces and a little weight.
I'm MacGyver. I don't need women anymore.
You should see what I can do with some hairspray and a light bulb.
I got a slingshot and some stones.
That's really sad, though.
That is extremely sad.
True. He's always been looked at as like a vanguard of purity. Well, I guess I can't
Morgan
really say
Freeman
that.
Morgan Freeman has been purity. Morgan Freeman's been old for as long as I've been alive. Yeah. I just can't picture him doing it.
That's a real shame.
And with that, we'll just call it a day. That was a good point to close.
Well, a nice somber ending.
Thanks for ruining our day. God, who's another celebrity that you boys just you would not ever believe if they did some misconduct, something terrible?
Keanu Reeves.
Ooh, yeah,
those are both good ones.
Both answers I was gonna say.
I'm gonna go.
Tom Hanks is an absolute one. That
Tom Hanks.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with. I think this is another agreeable one. Weird Al Yankovic.
I wouldn't be that. He's definitely really? More a shoelace type of guy. I don't. I wouldn't be.
I really. Wow.
Actually, I'm calling it out now. He's lifted his fair share of skirts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would break my heart.
He seems like the Donald Glover type of guy who, where no matter what he does, people suck his dick. I don't know. I'd be devastated about Keanu Reeves, though.
I'd be upset about it, but I think if Tom Hanks turned out to be like a, you know, lifting up skirts and like peeing on people or whatever, I think that would be the one that really fucked me up the most, because I've looked up to Tom Hanks for so fucking long. Like, he's just such a great guy, and he like does super cool things for his fans.
I think happily for you, Charlie, I think Tom Hanks is more like the kind of celebrity who'd kill himself and everybody would go like, oh, what was wrong? We never noticed.
Well, that's not a happy thought at all.
I think that relates to
Charlie. He's going to kill himself.
Well, it's really better than him being accused of rape.
That's true, yeah.
What about you, Jamie?
I was like, shit, when the whole Louis C.K. thing happened. That was kind of like a downer for me, because I think he's a really great comedian. Like, I think he's the kind of guy, like, just a quick side note, I feel someone like Dave Chappelle, he's the kind of person who's like a really solid set. Like, the whole show is great. But like Louis C.K. is the kind of guy who has like a little bit lower notes in his show, but like some really high highs, brilliant joke writing and that kind of stuff. And I really admired him for that. And like having that whole situation come up, it just kind of like tarnishes a bit of his, you know, a lot of his reputation and image for me. And I'm like a little bit sad about that.
God, yeah. Fuck off. I'm still angry about that one, because Louis C.K., like, you didn't have to sit there and just watch him jack off. One of them was literally on the phone with them.
Mm-hmm.
As he was touching himself, just hang
up.
I'd
be pretty upset about that too. It's like, yeah, well, I mean, yeah. I don't think she knew at the time. It's not like he's saying, I am jerking off to this call, like a fucking, you know, telemarketer, this call is being recorded. No, I'm jerking off to this.
Hello, I'm jacking off.
He told her. How else would she know?
Afterwards, probably, is what I'm guessing. What,
he came and sent her a message or something?
I don't know if this is right, but I think what I heard was like sort of halfway through the call, she kind of realized that he was doing something as the conversation was going on, and then she just felt too uncomfortable that it's like, I can't really hang up, should I hang up, like, what do I do? And she just kind of went through it, and I feel like, you know, it's a bit of a weird...
No, at that point it's on you, come on, he's a fucking creep, sure, but if you just sit there in a room with him, watch him jack off, and 20 years later you go like, oh, he raped me, no, you could have just left the room. You didn't have to sit there and watch him and cheer him eating popcorn and clapping and having a big foam number one glove on your finger. Fuck off. Fuck off.
It's a whole sporting event. I mean, honestly,
like, half of this Me Too shit seems to boil down to, I kind of humored him because I thought he'd get me a role, but then he didn't, so now I'm resentful 20 years later. No.
Well, that's kind of it. Like, they didn't want to leave because, you know, they'd lose the role or they'd get on his bad side or something.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, if it's the whole power thing. Like, he has all the power. If you're going to leave when he's jerking off, well, there goes your opportunity. I'd sit in the room and watch him jerk off. If I didn't get the role, I'd be tight as fuck. I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to tell people you jerked off while looking at me. I'd be just as upset. I'd be on that Me Too train.
That's kind of interesting. That's a reversal of power, because it's, hey, you need to watch me jerk off or you don't get the role. And then later now with Me Too, it's, aha, I didn't get the role, and now I'm going to tell on you.
Well, it's like, I kind of feel like if you look at sort of like the Harvey Weinstein situation in like contrast, like for him, like for Harvey Weinstein, it's like basically a criminal situation. Like it's really bad. And then for it's more like for Louis C.K., it's like he's been publicly shamed is more or less the result of what happened. And to some degree, I'm like, well, I think based on what I've read, I'm like, that's probably the appropriate response. Just like, you know, and I think that that's kind of been reflected for both those people in different ways. So in a way, obviously, like we're talking about, oh, well, if you're in the room, just leave the room, just hang up the phone. And it's like, well, you know, there's obviously, Charlie, like what you're saying, there's like the power dynamic involved. And I'm sure there's many, many people who just like went with it and they didn't give shit. But I feel like the degree of punishment that both those people are getting are a little bit more proportional to what they did. So I don't have too much of a problem with
I don't think there's anything wrong about how it was handled.
All right, here's a fun topic. Jesus Christ, I'm sorry. Jamie, how old are you?
Yes, 22.
Do you live with your parents, or do you plan on living with your parents when you're 30?
No.
It's about right, have you seen the news of the 30-year-old who still lives with his parents and had to get sued by them to move out and still does not plan to move out?
I feel this just sounds like a regular... lifestyle to me. I think it's pretty dumb.
Yeah, there's a lot of 30-year-olds, but this one's funny because they actually sued him into moving out. But I thought that was an Onion article.
No.
Was it not? Is that actual real news?
Yeah, it's real.
No, holy shit. This is not against you if you're 30 years old and listening to this and you still live with your parents for whatever reason. Maybe you've had just fallen onto bad times, right? But this man isn't the regular, I'm looking for a job and I still haven't moved out. I feel so terrible, yada, yada, yada. This man is a shameless piece of shit Redditor who just had an interview on CNN. His name is, what was it, guys? Like Michael Rapatino?
Michael Sabarano or something?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. Like a 10-minute interview on CNN because this is what qualifies as news these days. And you just talked to this lady who was dumbfounded by this man's inability to finish a sentence and make any sort of sense. And he was basically defending himself, being 30 years old and not wanting to move out of his parents' house despite
He wasn't, though. He wasn't. He was saying, I want to move out as soon as possible, but I'm not.
Well, yeah, he was self-contradictory. Well, he was like, I'm not a millennial.
Yeah, he was completely self-contradictory because he was like, oh, yeah, you know, I don't want to move out. I just don't think it's time. I'm not ready. And then they were like, well, then you got the litigation. He's like, yeah, I can't stay here anymore. I need to move out.
He's saying from a legal standpoint, he has to move out, but he still wants to stay there.
That's what it sounds like. He gave no answers. He gave no proper answers to anything.
What was the actual legal basis for it? Like, can you actually sue someone to leave your house for your kid or whatever?
It was something about him living there rent free, so they just wanted to evict him. It's not like they were suing their own son for all of his money. They just wanted him out of the house.
That sounds kind of hilarious, I feel. To some degree. It could either be just hilarious or terribly sad. I don't know, one of those two.
Their parents offer, according to this article on heavy.com that I'm skimming right now, is their offer was, we will give you $1,100. You leave. And one of their suggestions was, sell the other things you have that have any significant value. This is especially true for any weapons you may have. And you just know they mean katanas. You just know he's hoarding swords in his basement. Come on.
I feel like it's like the while you were moving out and getting a job, I was studying the blade type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is what it leads to, getting evicted by your mom.
Yep, nice.
His dojo comes
I was just reading, I don't know if you saw this Reddit thread that was like people who have sold their kidney, how did you sell your kidney and what did you get paid for it? And it turns out that like apparently if you go to like China or India, like you can get some, you know, 100 to 150,000 for a kidney. And I was like, but I could see someone doing it.
Whoa, 150,000 for a kidney?
For a kidney.
Sign me the fuck up.
That's nuts. Oh, damn,
that's crazy. Nuts.
Your kidney's important, though.
I thought mostly they just knocked you out and stole it.
Well, that's the risk.
Well, yeah,
The risk is, like, you might wake up with less than a kidney, you know? They might take a little bit.
They'll probably steal your wallet.
Greedy hands, you know? Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, that's not a bad deal, you know?
I'm surprised more people don't go missing like that. Just idiot expats who go to some third world country to sell their kidneys.
But these ones are actually like the legit deal. Like in a way, it's almost like professional doctors with an actual operating room, and they just kind of deal with this stuff on the black market.
Wow,
it's very professional. Yeah, but
I know first world people who go to the third world to get organ transplants. Like you know how in. You know, I don't in the West if you're denied an organ transplant because I don't know, maybe you're an alcoholic and the medical board doesn't want to give you another kidney, right? So you go to the Philippines and you sign up there and you just buy a kidney for like $20,000. I know that, but I've never actually heard of people going there to sell them. Because I figure if that was possible, why wouldn't just poor people native to that country sell their kidneys?
Yeah, that's what my point was going to be. Surely they'd have a surplus of kidneys over there. Why are we going over there and stealing their jobs?
Yeah, they're just having kids to harvest the kidneys. That's their business plan.
That's what I do. If that number is true, is 150K per kid? Come on.
The thing that I wasn't sure about is like this. Just relating to the specific number, I feel like because some people were like, 20,000. And then some other people were like, no, it's 100 to 150 because I did it. And I feel like there's very different places with very different prices depending on the thing, like who you're dealing with.
Surely it might be like the quality of your liver, your kidney as
but
well.
How would they know? Like, do they?
Yeah, they wouldn't know beforehand.
I feel it's kind of tricky.
Maybe they only pay you afterhand.
It's a real dilemma.
Yeah, it's really. Yeah, anyway, but that's
I certainly believe
if
it.
YouTube
though,
doesn't work out for you guys. If streaming doesn't work out, this is fine.
Luckily, I have an extra kidney.
If for some reason the sponsors don't want a return visit on this podcast, then you have this great option.
Who would have known I was sitting on $150,000 this entire time?
Even yeah. more if you include other organs. Can I sell really? Other people's kidneys?
Do I need That'd my tonsils? No. Get that shit out of here. My appendix? Gone.
No one's well, going to
no one's
going to
want an appendix, yeah.
Yeah, that or provides tonsils. No. Yeah, that, neither one provides any benefit.
You can eat it.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. If you're yeah. a rich, sick fuck that just wants to cannibalize people.
Well, not even that. There's probably some in Eastern Asian villages. They've got the medicine idea where you eat different body parts true, to feel better. True. There's probably people want to eat appendix and shit. Yeah,
yeah, but they're not going to have a lot of money, Andrew. Then not like they have bank accounts with hundreds of thousands. But you guys remember
they could have been
the,
saving their entire lives.
Yeah, I want praise.
Deal what? That whole village's capital is like, what, my pocket change?
That
bucks.
Whole village's capital is appendices. They're just throwing them at each other, counting
it's a
them up.
Goat's tail and $5 in gum, maybe.
Are you but telling you me got... you wouldn't get rid of your appendix for $5, some gum, and a goat?
Usually you have to pay to get rid of your appendix. Really? So yeah. if I'm getting gum and I'll turn it's like, oh, it's an improvement.
That's already cool. better than the U.S. healthcare system.
No, but you guys remember the Rotenburg cannibal from Germany who made an ad on the internet because he was looking for somebody to eat? And then he found somebody, and that guy had told him, yeah, you can cut my penis off and eat it. And what this guy, this is a true story, by the way. Go to Wikipedia, dear listeners. I don't know his name. I don't fucking remember. But point is, he put out an ad on this online forum called the Cannibal Cafe, I think, looking for somebody he could eat. And this dude replied and said, hey, you can eat me. So he cuts this dude's dick off. They try to fry it in a frying pan. It kind of shrivels up because turns out there really aren't any tutorials on YouTube for frying cock. So they were kind of pioneers of their field, of their culinary taste, I suppose. They put it in the microwave. It shrivels up even further. And so this cannibal, he decides, you know, whatever, I'm still going to eat it. And he drugs the guy and lets him bleed out in the bathtub while he's reading Star Trek books in his living room. Actual story.
Wait, so the guy, the cut off dick guy died?
Yeah, oh yeah, of course he died. No, his
that
whole,
was part of the plan from the get-go.
Yeah, that
for
was
him.
His whole point was kill me, butcher me, and eat me. But start mm-hmm. with the dick, let's eat my dick together. That was his plan.
And sounds foolproof to me. Like, I don't see the any faults in it so far. I don't know why.
And they say romance is dead.
So Mr. Cannibal lets a dude bleed out in his bathroom while he's reading about Captain Picard and his adventures or whatever. And apparently there's a video of this cannibal, like a butcher, cutting this meat and putting it into the icebox. But it's only ever been screened to like 20 journalists by the police, and it's been on lockdown ever since. And I kind of want to see that. It's like an infinity stone. I want to see what that
I would absolutely love
like.
To watch that shit.
That, yeah, that sounds like the most morbid shit. The next level to the ISIS, like this is like premium ISIS subscription kind of shit. But
the whole website was set up to fantasize about eating each other, and yeah. like the whole website was outraged when it actually happened.
Well, I don't but know if
you
they
go
were
on
outraged,
there, it's just
but
no, they were. You can yeah. still read almost all of the posts on the Cannibal Cafe, like as that happened.
How do you both know so much about this? Like, I thought this was just like funny. One person with an anecdote, but this is like
No. This was one of the most prolific cases in Europe of this guy.
It was also extremely big in the
that's
US.
That's super interesting. Yeah. I never heard of
it. It's because it led to this whole jurisdictional. The law had to be changed around this case because it led to the argument of this guy voluntarily wanted to be killed. Should this be legal or not? Right? Up until that point, apparently, this never came up of. Hey, what if a guy wants to be killed and eaten?
And it must suck. It must suck to be like a lawyer, you know, making legislation or whatever. And it's like that kind of shit comes across your desk, and you're like, I just wanted to put bad guys in jail. Like, what's going on with this?
Yeah. All right, I'm finally out of the academy. I'm ready to bust some crooks. What do you got for me? This guy ate another dude's dick. Oh.
Oh, well, send him to jail. Well, no, sir. He wanted to be eaten. What?
Oh.
You're just...
I quit.
You're just,
I can see why you called a detective.
It's like you're just fresh out, and they just, like, you expect that they're going to be like, hey, we need you to take a picture of Spider-Man. And you're like, that sounds great. But instead, he's like, yo, there's this guy going around eating dicks. Like, what are we going to do?
If I was told that as a reporter, my first job is taking photos of Spider-Man, I would drop everything and go apply.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, man. Just, yeah. Not even new guy. You must, like, I assume all the people who make like the big boy decisions about law are all the like old people, right? Who've been in their respective fields veterans. For several years. Like and this was back in, when was this?
2001.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Yeah, like a while ago. This, before these old people even knew what the internet is, someone came up to him and said, hey, in the Cannibal Cafe, somebody met a willing victim who wanted to have his dick eaten. They tried frying it, sir, but they couldn't fry it properly. So, you know, they looked up some Jamie Oliver tips and it didn't help either. So he just let the guy bleed out in his bathroom and then he ate him. And the guy, he goes, what do you say as a judge? Like, what?
It shut down the internet.
Speaking of frying up and eating delicious meals, Blue Apron is the number one. Blue Apron is the number one. The number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission: make home cooked incredible meals accessible to everyone. Blue Apron offers three plans. Jamie, would you like to guess those three plans?
No, I have no idea. I'm ready to be wowed.
And that's right. Good job. What's ready the second to be wowed.
Wait, is there a three-person meal?
Nope, the family meal plan. And finally...
Well, that could be three people.
Is there like a... Definitely. Okay, go on.
The wine plan. That's right, Jamie. You are really good
at this. That's right. I was ready for it.
Having never seen this before in your entire life. Blue Apron delivers fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, step-by-step recipes, right to your door. I almost read that as right to your doctor. That would be convenient as well.
For $150,000, right to your doctor.
They can be cooked in under 45 minutes.
Get you some nice treatment, dude. I should do that. Like, show up to my doctor's at nice McDonald's.
That would be cool. Some of the best parts of our day happen over dinner. So we can sit down, share our favorite serial killer stories, our favorite fucked up Cannibal Cafe tales.
So for this month, the Blue Apron menu consists of creamy caramelized onion burgers with apple and pickled pepper salad, Chrissy Teigen's garlic and soy glazed shrimp with charred broccoli and a hot green pepper sauce, roasted chicken drumsticks and cauliflower with orzo, feta cheese and olives, and or you can choose spicy penne pasta with zucchini and capers. All of this looks delicious. You can get that at blueapron.com/official. That's blueapron.com/official to get your first three meals for free. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
I was just kind of thinking like what you're talking about, and I just really want to eat all of it. It just sounds great.
Perfect.
I would like to sign it up. It sounds fantastic.
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Okay, so good question since the ad is over now. By the way, the dude's name, I looked it up. It was Armin Mivas, the role...
You don't want to make him famous for that.
The dick.
I mean, like, don't say it out loud.
Oh, James,
he's already famous. Yeah, he's very. I'm surprised. Well, I guess
I've never. I know. I just never heard of him.
You're surprised no one's heard of him?
Yeah. No. Well, I know the story was super huge because I heard about it when it was going on and I was a kid.
Really?
It really was a huge case, Andrew. The whole, like I said, the law had to be questioned because of this case. Because what do you do? Like, you know how we today have this whole debate, Andrew, about. What's it called when somebody wants
mercy
to die?
Mercy killings.
Like, yeah.
What's it called technically?
Assisted suicide.
Yeah. So
that was hot button issue in the early 2000s.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Right? How can you argue that assisted suicide should be legal because if somebody wants to die, they should be allowed to just die with dignity and then say, "Hey, this guy wants to die, but no, we can't allow him. That's murder." Right. I mean,
that's weird. They should do it like in a clean situation, not with their dick cut off bleeding out in the bathtub.
Yeah, don't give me the McDonald's of dick eating. Give me like a Gordon Ramsay flambé special preparation for it.
I don't know why there has to be any dick eating in a suicide or assisted suicide.
Could you imagine if it's like, if it's just like, yeah, you can actually participate in the voluntary euthanasia program if you fly to Sweden because it's a very progressive country. However, you will have to eat a dick.
You will have to eat their dick.
Eat your own dick. You know, this was pioneered by Armin Mivas, but we kind of butchered it. So we hired Jamie Oliver to really saute the penis and the testes. And you'll have to eat your own before we can allow you to take the lethal dose of morphine.
Do you think that that's a solution to our problems in a way? You take the people eating who want to die. No. In that whole, you fly to Sweden with the self-euthanasia. What if you take that, you take the people who want to die and you take the people who want to kill people and you mash them together in like a legal way? Well, I mean,
it's like a battle royale.
Well, no. Imagine you.
I feel like someone's like, the Hunger Games. You're like, no, like Fortnite.
They're following video game trends. It's definitely going to include battle royale. But I'm talking like you go to Sweden,
eat a penis with a Fortnite skin.
Fucking John Wick.
No. What I'm saying is, you go to Sweden, the most progressive country in the world, and you like you get the organization, and they're like, okay, Mr. Derrickson, okay, you have signed up to die, and you want to be shot in the head by a revolver. I want you to meet Svengard over here. He has wanted to shoot someone in the head for ages, so why don't you go ahead and get this started?
That's kind of the same concept of the Purge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Purge is...
That's not at all the Purge. Nobody in the Purge wants to die.
Yeah, the Purge is total anarchy and all breakdown of law. I'm talking like these two people agree. It's like, I want to kill someone, and the other person says, I want to die, and they figure it out.
You're not meant to feed that person's dark desires.
Why not?
The level of pain, like if I'm suicidal and I want to die, that doesn't mean I want some guy to cut my cock off while I'm still breathing.
Well, the person who wants to die would choose how they die. They'd be all
Yeah.
But even from the perspective of someone shooting someone, you're not meant to let someone do that because it's
what stops him from just doing it outside of the thing?
It's the logic of the Purge.
Then you would make a law around that. You would say, hey, the suicidal guy said you can only shoot him in the head and then eat his dick. If you eat his dick before you shoot him in the head, we'll have to arrest you, sir.
No, I'm talking about after that.
He's going to go home and he's going to constantly be thinking about it.
And you don't think that guy's going to kill people anyway? Yeah.
Well, probably not. If he didn't have access to
the whole assisted
to eat.
What if it
teaches him to hate it?
Isn't the first rule kind of like if you want to kill someone, like the first thing you should do is not say that you want to kill someone? Like, how are they going to find someone who's just kind of like, I'd really love to kill someone. Like, if you just like have them around, like just send them over. That would be great.
I guess if I have to.
Yeah.
That's a really good way of catching bad people. If you want to kill anyone, sign up here.
Well, it's like I don't know if you guys if you have this, but it's like when you come into Canada, like you fly into Canada, they have a when you go do the customs immigration form at the airport, it's like, have you been or are you involved with a terrorist organization in the last 7 years? And are people just going to be yeah. And they hand it in and like, are you involved with a terrorist organization? Like, oh, fuck. Oh, dude, I didn't think of it. You got me.
It's got to be looking for people to murder. Like, we need at least 2 years of experience with murder.
Differing degrees of executioners.
It's like you hand in that form and they're like, so you have skills then. You've been doing this for 7 years and you're like, oh, here, you got me. Thank you.
Some guy who's got 1,000 kills come in. I think you're a bit overqualified for what we're looking for.
Fresh out of college. Ugh,
you're just
John Wick.
Sorry. You're a shooting, stabbing murderer? We're looking for lethal injections. I'm sorry.
You've interned with ISIS.
No, sorry. ISIS was last time. We're going with the Irish mafia now. We're sorry.
I don't know how I feel about the whole assisted suicide thing, man. Because last time, what country was it? They killed a woman who was just basically depressed. This was the official story. She was, he or she, I'm not even sure anymore, but basically just depressed her whole life and she wanted to die and they killed her. And I don't know if I'm fine with that.
That's fucked.
I feel like that's the big question, though. It's like the difference between, if you're like that, whatever his name was, the Australian dude, 103, 104-year-old guy, your life is behind you, basically, and it's like you're making the decision to end it.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense, and everyone agrees on it. But if you're an angsty 20-year-old who's just kind of, had a bad experience, and it's like you don't really know, you don't have any meaning in your life or any good relationships, and you're like, life is fucking terrible, I just wish I was dead. Like, everyone knows, a lot of people are like, well, I've been there, a lot of people go through that, or there's still so much opportunity in the world for you. And so then it's like, you never want to kill that person. But still, it's like, where do you draw the line, I guess?
It's kind of like, go ahead, Charlie.
I was just going to say, and that's kind of what the case touched on, because I don't remember what the conclusion was. I think Armin ended up with a life sentence for it. Yeah. So
I would sure hope so.
It's kind of it's like that statistic. I think it's 98% of people.
He gets a 5-star Michelin rating instead.
it's kind of like that statistic where it's 98% of people who jump off a bridge and live regret it. like the people who are trying to kill themselves do it. And it's like, how do you, yeah, I mean, we have no connection with someone after they die. It's like, how do you know that that suicide was the right call?
So what you're saying, what I mean? we should start lining highways with trampoline. So yes. When people try to do it, then they're fine. And they have that realization halfway through and then their life has changed. Is that
we should hire
the
they bounce off the trampoline and then snap their legs.
We
and
should
then
hire
even more
a
sad.
Group of strongmen to stand on a platform below the bridge and catch you. And when you get caught, they go, "What are you doing? Life's worth living. Come on,
we love you."
Then they kiss you.
They give you a hug.
Can you imagine though? It's just like, "Oh, I was really depressed, but I realized all I needed was a pep talk from a strong man." And you're like, "Oh,
there's
okay,
a dude,
they're fine."
There's
what if that's
there's
the gun control we really need is. Just sell fake bullets, like 50% of them, make them fake, and they're like those Joker kind of fake bullets where it shoots out a little flag that says bang and has a little kitten as a photo. Like, do you really want to kill your classmates? Nah.
There's an amazingly depressing documentary that I highly recommend. It's about, it's called like the Angel of Something. And it's
the guy on the bridge.
Yeah, the guy who every day he goes to this common suicide bridge and he talks to jumpers and he's saved a ton of lives. And almost all of them are like, I was just looking for someone to talk to. And
yeah,
highly recommend
there's someone
it.
Over here like that down in New South Wales, I believe. There's like a cliffside that people jump off down here, and he's got a house next to it, and he comes out every morning,
pushes them off,
and talks.
He got himself a house near it. Imagine that.
Well,
that's
there's a lot of holes in his roof.
Well, yeah. So he just talks people down. But going back to your strongman thing, I've been thinking: if someone jumps off the bridge and into the strongman's arms, would they still like would their neck snap? And then, like, would that still kill them when they?
That's why the strongman had to be trained in catching falling suicide victim technique.
But surely
these are professionals, okay? These just aren't off the street strongmen, okay? We're not, you know,
You're underestimating just how strong these men are. These are the strongest men.
I feel like it would kill the strongman too.
It would absolutely. Killing. Probably kill the strongman.
We should just just make this an event, the world's strongest man. Like you catch him off the Golden Gate, catch him off whatever, like, you know, just increasingly high bridges until there's some kind of
that's perfect. It's until we have a winner. Every other contestant is the one who jumps.
Yeah, like, are there any depressed people in the audience? Can you guys come in real quick?
God, I wish we could have spectacles of executions, I guess. Yeah. Like, live from the Thunderdome, the execution of John Wayne Gacy.
I think the thing that's so messed up is, like, back in the day when they used to, like, you know, guillotine people, like, everyone went and saw it. They're like, oh, let's see those.
Yeah,
I miss those days, man.
It's so morbid,
just the whole,
but, you know, people have that morbid curiosity.
Those days.
What?
You miss those days? Were you around then?
No, like, I miss those days as in that sounds awesome. Like, why can't I go to the town square and see some sick fuck being beheaded? Instead, now we have these private executions for some, serial rapist, child rapist, serial killer. And the only people who are allowed to watch and jack off are the immediate family of the victim. What? Why? I want to watch.
Watch and jack off?
Yeah, I would. Fuck them.
You scared Jamie away.
Yeah. What, you think I'm going
to... Oh, Jamie dropped out of the call.
Jamie's gone. keep talking.
He was late for an execution.
Fuck.
So we've got some Patreon questions. There's a lot of fans of you in our audience, audience.
Super nice.
So we let them ask questions, and then we're going to relay the questions. So Lewis Moreno wants to know, what's your most homosexual experience? I think he likes you a bit too much.
Interesting. Okay, well, I feel like my most homosexual experience is my friend Jimmy. He probably crashes at my house like 3-4 nights a week. I have an extra mattress, you know, so he doesn't like cuddle up next to me, you know, but I feel like...
That sounds like a relationship.
And it's the kind of thing where it's like, you know, at this point, you know, people are like, oh, is something happening there? And he always makes sort of gay jokes. I kind of do it sometimes. But then it's like at the point where people are just kind of like, actually, though, you know, like, you know,
is it like that male joke you make with a girlfriend? Like, ha, wouldn't it be funny if we, you know, were together? Ha ha. Jimmy.
I mean, maybe it's like that. You could, you know, possibly. Anyway, that's my answer.
Do you want to come out on this episode to him?
I'd like to come out and say I would like him to think about paying some rent. That would be great. That's it.
I thought you were gonna say you want him to make the move first.
Oh, well, he's waiting for you. Get in on that.
No, I'm done. That's the next question.
This is from Jack, and they ask, where did your art style and format come from? If it was inspired by someone, who are they, and how have they impacted your content?
I'd say that it was a little bit of Grade A, like I was saying before. I feel like his art style is what made me kind of realize, oh, you know, from the style that I'm doing, the writing is more important than the visuals. So I say I got that a lot from Grade A. I think to me, the writing is, I like watching a lot of sort of British talk shows and panels and stuff like that. And I kind of felt that the kind of British self-deprecating humor was something that doesn't really exist too much in, at least for us here. And I kind of wanted to do something. There's a bit of combination of that where I was like, I think there's a lot of stuff that isn't being said. And I think there's a bit of style that people haven't really done too much. And I wanted to kind of fuse those together. So I'd say mostly it's a combination of a little bit of more of a British talk show, self-deprecating genre of humor mixed with maybe like a Grade A kind of like artisanal PowerPoint of content. I think that's where it comes from.
Hmm. All right.
Well, that was a very straightforward answer.
Yeah. I'm actually interested in, this is a real quick question from your pal Jackson over here. He wants to know, Has YouTube, the recent decisions by YouTube, affected your channel as much with demonetization?
Not too much. I don't think I have any videos that are demonetized. I had one that was for a little bit, and then it came back. But I don't really experience it too much. I feel like my content is pretty clean, all things considered. You know, in a way, I'd kind of imagine. I was surprised when Cyanide and Happiness got a lot of their stuff.
What do you mean by recent? Because the Are you talking about the chronological thing that just happened yesterday?
No. I was just talking about the recent blow-ups that have happened in the last, like, year. Recent being a bad word.
I'm just surprised, because to me, it's just, like, not very offensive content. And I feel like the kind of stuff that I'm making, it's like, well, even if they were to decide to demonetize some of the stuff that I'm doing, it would more be like, well, it's a mistake. Like, it's not like there's advertisers who look at my content and are like, oh, we don't want vitamin water on that one. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And to me, it's more, most of the demonetization stuff comes from this fear that, you know, someone's going to perpetuate some kind of article claiming that someone is XYZ and they're associated with XYZ and that's a bad thing. And to me, I haven't really experienced too much of it, which is good.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, do you guys get that a lot? Because I imagine that your content might be a little bit more speculative to some degree. Yeah,
it is for some of the guests we have on, and obviously for us personally too. If you know, you're a YouTuber and you get demonetized, like you said, it's not like anybody personally goes onto the YouTube thing, I guess, back end and decides, hey, this guy needs to be demonetized. But their algorithms just do seem to be such fucking horseshit that if you so much as use the word "but" in your headline, you will get demonetized. And a lot of people have been seeing a sharp decline in their income, unfortunately. And since yesterday, I guess, they've been experimenting with something where your sub box, that tab that all of us use, where all of your subscriptions, newest uploads go, apparently that's not going to be chronological anymore. YouTube is going to decide.
They want their algorithm. They want their algorithm to take on every aspect of the site, it seems.
It's still the feed they're proposing, it's all still from your subscriptions, though. They just won't be in chronological order.
It's the dumbest shit ever. It's the only part of the site that is chronological.
Yeah. And does that imply that some of the videos are not gonna appear, right?
No. So the way I understand it so far is every video will still appear there, but what you see at the top is going to be catered to your interests. So, like, you have 20 subscriptions, but you only really actively watch videos from 5 of the channels. Those 5 channels' uploads are going to be put above the ones that you don't typically engage in. I still think it's a pointless, stupid change, but I don't think it's as big a deal as it's being made out to be, because it's all still there.
It's a slippery slope, though.
I mean, all other aspects of YouTube is a
slippery slope.
Yeah, it's
well, I feel like
we're going to eventually get to the stage where YouTube just like chooses what we want to watch for us.
We just open it up.
We launch it. They don't show us any videos. They just open cold with a video that they've pre-chosen for us, and then we watch.
It's just
that.
More intuitive. If when I go there, I think what came out yesterday.
Exactly.
What came out in the last 24 hours versus
whose
videos did I watch recently more than somebody else's. That's not
I feel like to me the obvious answer would be to just implement both options, like have a chronological choice and then have one that's filtered. Because I think the reason being is most consumers on YouTube have like 300 subscriptions, and it's like they just are really interested in the ones that they see the most. Some people, like, say some people make content like once every few weeks, and some people make content every day. And it's like, you know, if you're subscribed to that person who makes content every 2 weeks, usually it's of higher quality, so to speak, and you're excited and waiting to see it. And it's like, that's the kind of thing that they're going to want to push to you. And if you're just getting it chronologically, then it's the kind of thing where, in a way, a chronological timeline would reward something like Logan Paul uploading a video every day over someone who very thoughtfully crafts something over periods of weeks or months, where if someone does that, you'd want that push to people right away. So I honestly think there's pros and cons both ways, but I think the best solution would be having both options, like a chronological and a algorithmic feature system. Yeah,
give me the option.
That was an extremely good point.
Don't
yeah.
force me. Right, because even if I don't watch it, I still want to be subscribed to this person, and I still want to see his releases on the just whenever they appear. Like, I, one example, I'm subscribed to Joe Rogan. I don't watch every episode. I watch maybe one out of 10 episodes, but I still want to see his episodes when they are actually released. I don't want to see them back down on some list that I have to scroll down to. Stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Stop making that decision for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if they...
More choices, the better.
Yeah. And I think also, like, if they did a one where they actually featured what they think you'd be most interested in, that'd be really valuable to some degree, because imagine, like, with Joe Rogan, it's like you watch, you know, one in 10 episodes, and another channel you watch, like, say, like CGP Grey is an example, a person who takes a very long time between content, like maybe Bill Wirtz or something like that. And you watch every single piece of content when it comes out because it's so rare. And they'll see, like, hey, you know, algorithmically, you watch every single video they put out. So whenever they put out a video, we're going to feature it to you as the number one spot. And you'd probably appreciate that. And then there's other people that you kind of tune in every now and again. And they'll just kind of, like, put it as third or fourth priority. And that has a lot of value to some people, I think, especially people with a lot of subscriptions, which I think is your more average person on YouTube.
It's fair enough. I just, I don't know how many,
really good argument for
how
it.
How many subscriptions do people have, though? Because when I go on YouTube, I don't know how many subscriptions I have, but the daily videos that I see that really aren't that much. Like, at most, maybe 10 new videos.
It's, the average is 12. Every YouTube channel, on average, will have 12 subscriptions. That's what they work under. Yeah.
Wow, but that's nothing.
Think about the 12 they could be. Let's say they subscribe to 12 daily or 11 daily content uploaders, and then one iDubbbz who will take like a month or 2 months in between uploads or something. I can totally see the merit for, when he does release it, putting it above the ones that are daily, because it makes a lot more sense. That is a really, really strong perspective that you brought there, James, because I didn't even consider that. That makes a lot of sense, because you could easily miss that with all the daily content.
Mm-hmm. And that's
still prefer the choice,
I guess.
Well, I mean, that's the reason for it. It's like they're going to put that in, maybe is the default, or maybe not. But I think having the option of
there's been no precedent.
But even then,
there's been no precedent for YouTube giving us choices. Yeah. They just take features away and choose what's best.
They're always going for, and even if they're misintended on it, they're going for the broadest appealing thing. So if most channels only have 12 subs, then maybe it's not that bad implementing what they want.
Sounds really low. Are you sure?
I feel like over 100.
Do you know what the median is? Because I feel like it might be skewed low, because most YouTube channels have zero subscriptions, because they're just such a profile.
It's just what I found. That's what I, when I was told, that's what the number they
that
work
seems
under the assumption
so
is.
So low.
I
think it seems kind of high.
What? I would say most people have like 50. Like,
include all the millions, presumably, of accounts that have zero subscriptions, then it makes sense.
Which are accounts that they don't use. That's the thing.
You have to think, it's like so many accounts, and the majority of them have zero. They just actively go to the channels and watch. They don't bother to subscribe. They don't care to, because they don't want notifications or something. So, I mean, it makes sense to me. Like, 12 to me seems even high.
I guess, but that still neglects all the people who, like us, do have accounts and do have subscriptions who care about it. And if I get 20 new videos a day, I don't know.
I think the answer is...
How the fuck can I trust you even? I mean, you're YouTube. I don't even know if the video that,
yeah,
that
Charlie's
I want to see
pocket.
Is
going
I'm not YouTube.
I think it's just a matter of, like, you know, it's very clear that you need a different sorting system for people who have 5 subscriptions and people who have 100. Because it's just different. Like, if you have 5 subscriptions, just give them everything in chronological order, because there's only so many things they can look at. But if you have 100 or 200 or 1,000 subscriptions, like, you need to have a prioritized feed. And to me, it's just the answer is just give the people the option depending on their
preferences.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. But, and I think that's something they miss because YouTube doesn't have options. They go with which one performed better and remove the other performing one. But if they had options, I feel like nobody would bat an eye. They wouldn't be nearly as upset.
You should have a fucking menu and it's just like, here's all your subs. Which ones do you want to have higher priority? Which ones do you want to do this? Which ones do you not want to show at all? But they do kind of have something like that and it doesn't work at all.
Well, no, they don't really have that. What they have now is they have a subscription which gives you occasional notifications from who you're subscribed to. They have the bell where you can choose occasional or all notifications. So they have systems in play, but it's, I don't know. I just feel like they need to have options instead of force one.
I think the when better there performing are, one really thousands of people on Twitter going, what the fuck is going on? You're doing something wrong. If it's not intuitive. It's,
well, I think the thing that's kind of tricky too is it's kind of like, I imagine the vast majority of engagement on YouTube is done by people who just really don't understand what's going on, so to speak. Like, they're just links to a video. They found a video on trending. It's like a kid using their parents' account. They're just on an iPad. Like, they're just there to see the content. And but the difference is, like, the kind of people who I'd say are kind of the backbone of the website, which would be the creators, and also people who are very savvy at using the site for a long time. It's like, it's important. What I think they're making a mistake of is they can look at the numbers and be like, well, 95% of people are consuming content in this way, so we're just going to make this default and force this on someone without doing the, say, chronological thing. Just give them this, whatever is the maximized in terms of profit and viewership and that kind of stuff. But the thing that they're missing is like that 5% or that 10% who kind of want to have these options and this degree of complexity. Those are the people who actually kind of run the site in a way where it's like they're the core audience and they're the people who are on YouTube all the time. They're the people who are going to be responding and engaging to stuff in a meaningful way, that the people making the content. And it's like you need to give those people options or they'll kind of be a little bit disenfranchised in the way that we kind of feel about it. So the idea of like what they're doing, which is kind of like running the numbers and placating the masses, like I think it's a bad long-term strategy. And I think it's just going to kind of hurt them, making this site as simple as possible and just like, you know, churning over ad revenue, basically. I think it's a losing long-term play of, you know, the whole philosophy. I think it's a bit faulted.
Yeah.
It's just the whole idea of they think they know what's best and they're going to push that on you instead of giving you the choice. But at the end of the day, their choices aren't the absolute worst they could be. Some of them make sense. Well, okay, so I guess that's a really shitty little bar.
Like the absolute worst that YouTube could do is rape children on a live feed. But it's
what you think too, like with YouTube situation, it's like I imagine a lot of the stuff that they're doing that like they don't know what they're doing either. Like it's a relatively new platform. You know, they've been running for what, 10, 15 years or something like that. And that's not a lot of time. And it's so much bigger than it was before. Like they undoubtedly have huge problems where they're like, we don't want the creators to be unhappy. We don't want the audience to be unhappy. We don't want the advertisers to be unhappy, but everyone is unhappy because everything is, you know, blowing up so exponentially that it's like, they honestly are probably very lost in what to do. And this is so new that I like to try to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt that it's like, they probably have no fucking clue what's going
that's
on.
That's kind of what I think as well. Can you guys hear this fucking monumental thunderstorm I'm having here? It's like YouTube headquarters is trying to take me down.
No,
right,
I don't hear it through you. I hear it through my window as well.
Yeah, I heard something.
But yeah, it's been fucking typhooning here for the last week. Every single day.
Where are you guys? Where do you guys live?
Florida.
Yeah, Florida for us.
All of you?
What about you?
Yeah, I'm in British Columbia in Canada. On the West Coast?
Oh, nice. It's just,
I'm Australian.
It's just Andrew and I in Tampa.
Okay, nice.
Kai's Germany.
Somebody just ordered a...
Why did you single me out?
I mentioned all of us.
Okay.
I said I'm Australian.
Somebody just ordered takeout to my house by accident, so was that you, James? Did you order me something
from
nice?
Blue Apron?
A nice penis in a pizza box.
There you go.
He's on board.
Beautiful. A classic. All right. Do we have any more Patreon questions, Jackson?
I'm trying to find a final question.
Yeah.
Andrew, do you have
a real meaty one?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I have one. If you don't have a good one, I have one that works.
Yeah. Go for it.
This is from Dinosaurus. Of all the things you have casually explained, what would you say was the most interesting for you?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, I really liked, I really enjoyed doing the, I did one that was, like, the intelligence spectrum. I thought that was funny. Like, I enjoyed making that one. I don't know. I guess the ones I like the most.
IQ thing?
It's not really an IQ thing. It's more like, it's kind of a joke, really. But I just like the concept, and I like the jokes that were in it. I thought it was a good one. Like, if someone was like, show me a video that you think was well made, I'd show them that one. But I think the ones that I like the most are, like, I like the red flags one that I did. And I don't know. I think the ones that I like the most are just, like, any time that I'll have, like, a little segment, like a little paragraph, or, you know, sometimes it's the video, but usually just a few paragraphs where I feel like I'm like, oh man, I think I've kind of said something original, you know, or something kind of creative. Cause, you know, I don't know if you guys experience this, but there's a bit of, like, an imposter syndrome that you kind of get when you're making content, and a bunch of people are watching it, and you're like, why are they watching it? This is just something that I just did in, you know, Paint or Photoshop or something. But sometimes I feel like I actually say something that I think is really funny or, like, clever, and I'm just like, I'm proud to have that kind of thing, like, attached to my name, so to speak, you know, and I just feel like that's really good. In terms of specific content or specific things that I've explained, I don't think that in terms of education, there's been none, but I think my best video is probably still the Is She Into You one. I like that one because it's just, like, one joke that's, like, kind of well put together over a 2 or 3 minute period. And it was also kind of directed to my friend, and I thought it was kind of funny when, you know, when he saw it and he could relate to it and that kind of thing. In a way, a lot of the stuff I make, it's good to hear the reaction of someone that, you know, it's actually a reference to in real life. So I guess that is it. I feel like it's a pretty bland answer, but that'd be my answer.
No, I think that's exactly what they were looking for with the question.
Mm-hmm. So that'd be good, yeah.
Before we wrap up today, do we want to do a what we like corner where we all go through something that we like this week?
All right, we can do a what we like corner. What we like corner.
You like Connor?
Well, yeah, Connor is good. John Connor, keep up the good work fighting Skynet.
Yeah, who the fuck is Connor?
I meant to say corner. We'll go in Jack order. Take us off, Jackson. Sail our ship.
Oh, good. All right, so this week I like the game on Steam, House Flipper. I don't know if any of you have heard or played it, but it's a meme game. It's a game where you renovate houses and then sell them, and I thought that was a neat concept. And it's not a good game or anything, but it's funny. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Andrew?
Oh, I said God of War last week. All right, I guess this still counts because it was a bonus episode. I like Deadpool 2.
God damn it.
Very, very good movie. Had a rough start.
Why do you like it?
It had a rough start, and I went in with kind of flat expectations, and I was setting myself up in my head for it to be disappointing, but then it just, from the middle of the movie till the end, just pulled it out and turned into a fantastic movie. That's why.
God damn it. You stole what I liked.
You could say Infinity War.
Come up with something new.
No. That's what I brought to this show and tell was Deadpool 2. Kai, you're going to have to go ahead of me while I think of another thing I like.
Yeah, okay. Come on. Maintain the order.
What do I like? What's something new that I like this week? You know what? James, you. What do you like?
Oh, what do I like?
I thought you meant you liked James.
That'd be good. I'd take that.
Well, that could be my answer too.
I'd say, like, well, I don't know, nothing particular. I guess so. This is super fucking lame, but I just feel like being on this podcast was, like, surprisingly speaking, I'm, like, really glad that I'm on here because I've never done anything like this before, and I feel like kind of was, like, a bit of a good experience in getting used to that kind of thing, because I kind of hope to do that kind of make some kind of audio content and other content in the future. And I feel like, especially from the start of this podcast, where I was like, holy shit, what the fuck is going on? I am so stressed. And obviously, I imagine that showed a little bit, and I feel a lot better about it now. And I feel like it was just a really good experience. And I feel like I was like, that was good. I'm glad that I did that. And I feel like
you came across as entirely professional.
Thank you. And I feel like I've been planning on making my own sort of podcast and that kind of content. And I'm going to be hopefully doing that in the next, you know, few months, getting that on the go. And I feel like this was a good stepping stone kind of experience. So anyway, that's my really lame answer to that, but I do appreciate it.
Would you be more comfortable doing other podcasts now?
Yeah, I would, you know? I feel like also this is kind of like, you know, you've asked all the hard questions. We've talked about eating dicks and selling our kidneys. And everything's out in the open now, and I feel a lot more comfortable with that. So, yep, I would. Yep, that's right. So, Sean Evans out there, hot ones, you know. Ethan Klein, like, I'm out here. But, yeah, anyway.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Everyone. Yeah, Ellen, Jimmy Fallon, get me out here. But anyway, no, I do really appreciate it, and I really thought this was a great experience.
Love you, man.
No, man, we appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, definitely. That's the end of what we like corner right there. That's a mic drop right there.
You're not weaseling out of this.
Uh-huh. But that was such a good ending right there. That's like if the credits didn't roll at the end of Titanic.
Charlie, literally all big movies now have end credit scenes, Charlie? Yeah.
The credits just rolled. What is your end credit scene, Charlie?
You got to one up it.
I like...
Tease us for next week's episode.
I like... anime. I'm watching an anime. The movie just got
a 40% on Rotten Tomatoes because of your after credit scene.
What's the one?
Blood Blockade Battlefront.
There you go.
You two watch anime together? What the hell are you guys doing?
You do not know the manliness of bonding while working out and watching anime together.
Yeah, what the fuck is it called? Black Card? What is it?
Blood Blockade Battlefront. It has the best art in any anime I've seen.
All right.
It's very good.
That after credit scene bombed. Kaya, take us home.
I know I've mentioned this one like, I don't fucking know, like 40 episodes ago, but I've been downloading it again and playing it again, which is Parkitect. If you're a big roller coaster tycoon kind of guy, if you like Roller Coaster Tycoon 1 and 2, the isometric views, this is sort of in the spirit of it. So go play some Parkitect. It's on Steam.
It's a beautiful game, too.
Or Jackson, or I guess Jamie, actually, have you any of you played Planet Coaster?
Yeah,
I love Planet Coaster.
Because I really want to start that, because I love those kind of games, and I've heard Planet Coaster is like the best one.
It looks super good. Looks super good.
You know, Planet Coaster is creative. What Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 should have been, but Parkitect is what Roller Coaster Tycoon 1 and 2 have been, right?
Oh.
So there's two different games, completely different.
Yeah.
And I think you should check them out.
So Parkitect is 2D?
Yeah. And Planet Coaster is more of like a creative endeavor.
Wow. I'm going to check this out.
There's not as much management behind it. It's just a creative game, really. But it's a lot of fun.
Are we wrapping up? Because I got two things to plug.
Yep, go for it.
Okay, so
hurry, we have to get to the plugs.
Our usual Patreon stuff, you know, you can go to official.man/Patreon if you want to support us. And we are planning a special episode. Some of you may have noticed we have hit a milestone with the 10K. So we are planning on hopefully having on our fans for a live call-in. You can call in. You can talk to us. We'll have you in for the episode. Special, you know, some stuff. Yeah, you just go be a Patreon right now. If you're a patron, you get the chance to call in and talk to us. And the other thing, which I've been forgetting for weeks now, is that we do have a new YouTube channel where we do upload episodes, couple of hours early.
1 hour, 2 hours before normal release.
Yeah,
just so that people can watch it fresh.
He says 1 hour, but at this point, I've seen him upload it like 12 hours early too. So if you want to see that,
that was an accident.
Yeah, whatever, Jackson. official.man/YouTube. All right.
And now it's your turn, James. Plug whatever you want.
I have not too much to plug. If you want to watch my videos, go look up Casually Explained on YouTube. But that's all I got.
We recommend you do. Go check out Casually Explained.
Very, highly very good content.
Again, man, really, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank
you. Really, no worries. Thanks for having me on. I had a really good time. Thank you.
It was super sweet meeting you, dude.
Yeah, good meeting you guys, too. Thanks for having me.
We love you.
All right, that goes double for everyone else out there. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Love you all. See ya.
You sweeties. See ya.
Goodbye. Kisses.
Bye. Mwah.